Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, just we come before you with such love in our hearts that we're here today to worship you. And we are so excited to be with all of our fellow believers this morning as we sing your praises. And so we ask that you be with Dr. Stevens this morning as he brings the word. May you open our hearts that we will hear his preaching and that we will be transformed and changed by that. And so we lift him up this morning and be with us as he brings the word. And all God's people said, amen.
Good morning, Second Mile. Good morning. What a great day to be here and to worship together. It is a privilege to get to fill in for my friend, Pastor Cal Hampton. I am entering my 14th year as the Associational Mission Strategist for our local Baptist Association here in Clarksville. Shirley and I are actually members of Hilldale Baptist Church, and Brother Larry Robertson likes to say we are some of the best church members. Our tithe goes there, and we are never there to cause trouble, you know, so we are all over the place. But it is a joy to be here. I do want to just mention one other thing about my tenure, and that is some years ago, I got a phone call from a guy who called me saying that he had Clarksville roots and wanted to come plant a church. And I just have to tell you, I didn't know what to think. I didn't know this guy. I had come during some years that he wasn't living in Clarksville, and so I began to have conversations with him. And it has turned into one of the greatest joys of my ministry with the association in watching a church called Second Mile and seeing what God has done in this place. And I know you're here every week, right? But I still drive by and think, how cool in this place that God put a church, right? And so, and including next door. So what a joy to be with you all. And so I want to just share with you this morning from God's Word, something that I hope will be of help to you. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to be at verse 1. God's gift for the second mile. God's gift for the second mile. And as we begin to read God's Word, if you are able today, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? This passage from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for the privilege of opening your word and hearing today the word of life. I pray that as we've come into this place from many places and many activities in the previous 7 days, I pray that you might help us to see today the way in which you want to remind us who we are. And in that, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be strengthened to face the challenges that come with us each and every day of life. And Father, in the midst of that, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross and that you'd help us not simply to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you be seated? So I have this, actually a couple of friends who are a little annoying to me. And let me tell you why. So I love Christmas, love the Christmas holidays. And yes, there's a reason why I'm giving you this illustration in August. Because I have these friends, and these friends will put on Facebook, like in March, July, now August. Did you know it's 122 days till Christmas? And I'm thinking, I love Christmas as much as the next guy. But I mean, really, you know, I mean, this is the season of football and back to school and all that kind of stuff, right? And I tell you that because there's just some folks that just plan all year long, right? Well, let me just tell you about one little illustration of a time when it didn't work for Shirley and I to plan ahead. So one year at Christmas time, Christmas came and went, and afterward, well, let me fast forward to the story. We were cleaning out the attic. And as we were cleaning out the attic, we came across a box, and when we opened the box, there were two or three items in there, brand new in the wrapper. They were toys. Our kids were out of high school. We bought them after Christmas, thinking we would save money for the next year, right? Oh my goodness. A great savings that never got to be used. And I tell you that because I think a lot of times in the Christian life, what happens to us is we face the challenges that life brings, and we forget the fact that there are gifts that have been given to us by the one who made us, and we have not utilized those gifts. And one of the greatest gifts of all for any believer is the presence of God's Holy Spirit with him or her in the challenges of life. And I want to talk to you about how Jesus prepared his disciples to comprehend and apply that truth in their lives at a critical juncture in their lives and in their ministry. Because you see, Jesus instructs us in our Christian life to make sure we are not depending on ourselves, but on the one who made us, who saved us, and who goes before us. And so I want to just point out to you a couple of things here that I think will be really helpful. But to do that, we need to know the context of this passage. This is going to be the seventh of seven I am statements that are in the Gospel of John. We're just looking at one of them today, but there are seven of those. And those seven I am statements remind us that Jesus is fully human and yet fully divine. He is the Son of God. And as he reminds us of those things, what he's telling us is that you and I need to make sure that we understand that these words were spoken to real people just like us. And so the setting in Scripture, as John records it, has Jesus after the Last Supper and before the arrest, spending some time with his disciples. Perhaps they were walking, I don't know. But whatever the case, he's giving them some sort of last minute instructions here in the Gospel of John that are going to be critical. And among those instructions are this passage that you and I read here. The second thing I want you to notice about that in just the setting of this is we need to realize that you and I live in a world that is constantly trying to tell us who we are. It is constantly telling us that everything hinges on whether we are red or blue. Everything hinges on whether or not we have failure in our background or success in our background. It's telling us that you only matter if you measure up to your neighbors or if you have as many possessions or money or career success or whatever it is as somebody else. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You and I need to understand, you and I, our value is not based on what the world says about us. It is based on who we belong to. And so what Jesus was doing with his disciples is he's preparing them for him to go to the cross. And as he's preparing them, he's saying, don't you forget that you need to be connected to me no matter what circumstances come our way, because in the midst of that, you will find joy in the midst of those circumstances. Let me just break this down in the passage. Four little things here that can help us. First of all, you and I need to know that his presence begins with his name. Now, quick little illustration that'll set this up. I am old enough that I can remember something that, well, one or two of you here will remember. They used to have these things. They were called telephone books. And if you wanted to look for a bank or your neighbor or somebody at work, you just open up the book, right? And you found their number and you called them and, well, they may or may not have been there. But today, we don't have those things. And so because everything has moved to a cell phone, quick story, my mom and dad just moved after 42 years of living in their where they lived in Mississippi. And for the first time in 42 years, they don't have the same phone number. That's a shock, I'm telling you. And so if you and I want to connect with each other on the phone, we have to have met in some way or another so that we can exchange numbers, right? Let me tell you, you and I cannot depend on God unless we have met up with God and trusted him. And so what we see here is that his presence begins with his name, and when we know his name, he gives us so much. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Well, two or three quick things about that. The disciples knew who they were talking to. He's Jesus, right? What does that name really mean? It means God saves or God delivers. And that is exactly what Jesus does. He saves and he delivers. But as I mentioned to you, this is the seventh of seven I am sayings where he says things like, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so this seventh one where he says, I am the true vine, goes all the way back to Exodus 3:14 when Moses is standing before the burning bush and God begins to speak through that burning bush to Moses. And he's going to call him to lead God's people out of bondage in Egypt. And at one point, if you read through Exodus 3, basically Moses says, that's a great idea, but how's this going to happen? There's no way they're going to trust me. What am I supposed to tell them when I say that God told me to bring you all out, bring the people out of Egypt? Well, God answered. And he said, you tell them I am sent you. That name, I am, we make a stab at how to pronounce that. We think it's in English best like Yahweh. But it was the proper name for God. God was revealing himself to Moses in a precious way, in a deeper way. That as we move further, Jesus is revealing more of who he is to his disciples and to us as he says things like, I am the true vine. Then thirdly, I want you to see what he says here about this. I am the true vine. Two quick things about that. One is, first of all, he says, I am the true or genuine or real vine. But when he refers to the vine here, there's something interesting you should know. Every time in the Old Testament the vine image is used, it's usually used to describe God's people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. The problem is, as you look through the Old Testament, almost every time it's used to refer to the people, the vine, it's used in a negative sense. And here's why. Because God's people over and over and over again were unfaithful. And so here, what you and I see is this whole thing is flipped around, and now it's not the rebellion of the people. It is indeed the truthfulness, the faithfulness of our Savior Jesus. And so when you and I look at that picture of who He is, what a great reminder that His presence begins with His name. The second thing I want you to see is a little further on. Look down at verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now let's pause right there for just a second. He uses this word abide, which means to dwell in or to stay in. And what he's saying to his disciples is simply this. I want to, repeatedly, he tells them, I want you to stay connected to me. Now, that's a great word of instruction, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I do realize this. When Jesus repeats something over and over and over again in a passage, we ought to get it. There are 10 times that word is used here in this passage that I read. There's actually an 11th time where it's implied, but there are 10 times that it is used in this passage. And the reason that is so important is because what Jesus was saying is, if you abide in me, I will show up. I will show up. And so often in Scripture, that's what we see. Is portraits of amazing things when our God shows up. In the Garden of Eden, God shows up having conversation with Adam and Eve, fellowship with Adam and Eve. In the book of Isaiah, there's a great national crisis. The king has died, King Uzziah. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. There's this wonderful image that in the midst of crisis, God showed up, and as Isaiah worshiped him, then God would call him to be his servant. Look, if you would, in the third illustration of that, that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. He takes the inner circle of the disciples, they go up on a mountaintop, a sort of cloud encloses them or engulfs them, and they sense a very real presence of God with them. And Jesus shows even more of who he is to them as he prepares them for him to go to the cross. And I'm reminded in Revelation of the picture in the chapters 4 through about 7 in the throne room of God, where there are people from every tribe and kindred and nation that are worshiping Jesus, saying, holy, holy, holy. What a wonderful picture you and I see. And I use those illustrations because wherever we see God's presence, we also find that there is power for those who follow him. And that is true for you and I today. We need to be reminded our God always shows up. But not only does he show up, he wants to teach us not only more about himself, but he wants to use us in greater ways than we ever imagined. Unfortunately, sometimes you and I find ourselves distracted and find ourselves sort of wandering off the path if we're not careful. A couple ways I know that. One is personal experience. You know, there are times that God wanted me to do this and I kept wanting to go over here, over here. But all you got to do is look at this passage. Why is Jesus saying it over and over and over again? Abide in me. Because he knew human nature. He knew there are ways in which you and I would want to find ourselves wandering somewhere else, going somewhere else, doing other things, whatever the case is. But you and I need to understand that he is reminding us today, we don't need to let any substitutes stand in the way. What kind of substitutes? Wow. There's so many things that take our attention, from social media to recreation. There are ways in which all kinds of some things that may be good things, but they're not the best things that stand in the way of our sensing God's presence. It takes our time and our attention away from spending regular time with the one who saved us and sets us free. And when we find ourselves dealing with those things, we are reminded every time we come back, God has fresh things to say to us if we will listen and look. About a year ago, I had an uncle that passed away, and they asked me to do his funeral, and I had wonderful memories of childhood things that had happened when I was growing up with my uncle and my cousins and just doing a lot of things with them and so on. But as the years have gone by, I really hadn't spent a lot of years or a lot of time in my adult years with my uncle, and so I was kind of struggling with somebody who was related to me. Because all the illustrations I kept thinking of for the funeral were things that happened when I was under 18 years old. Well, I'm a lot older than 18 now. And guess what? I realized something. Sometimes in the Christian life, what happens is we're only calling back memories of something God did a long, long time ago. But we don't have anything to say for what He told us last month or last week. And that's a shame, because sometimes what we need to realize is the reason we are not sensing His presence and His power in our lives is because we are not trying to make sure our relationship is up to date with Him. And that's so important because of what it says in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Now catch this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me just give you the Stevens commentary on that. I actually don't literally think he says you can't do anything. Now, bear me out just a second. Because we can do all kinds of things. It's just we can't do anything that really matters. Just think about it. You and I can be busy about nothing. And the reality is what he's saying is if you want to do anything that really matters, you need to be spending time with me, abiding with me. And then I want you to recognize why that's so important. It's so important because oftentimes we face the challenges of life and ministry and family and all that kind of thing, and we are missing out on that gift he gave us, his presence, his power. And I don't know about you, but I'm just reminded the God that I serve is still a miracle-working God. The God that I serve can set people free from addiction to drugs and alcohol. The God that I serve can bring the prodigal back home. The God that I serve can take the scars of our past and heal them and give us a testimony for the future. The God that I serve is perfectly capable of taking a skeptic and turning them into a believer. The God that I serve can take an old restaurant and put his church in it. Our God can do anything our God chooses to do. But so often we have not spent time in his presence. Which leads me to the third thing I want you to see, which is simply this. Sometimes the reason we don't want to sense His Spirit is because of what happens in verses 2, 3, and 6. Look with me quickly in that passage. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Therein lies the sticking point. And it is this. His presence includes pruning in our lives. You see, if God's going to get close to us and we're going to get close to Him, He's not going to do that without it impacting us. And so the illustration that Jesus uses here is that God is going to do some pruning, some trimming in our lives. Now, what kinds of things does He prune out? Well, how about attitudes that are not what He wants? How about hidden sin that we think nobody else knows about or will be hurt by? What is it just possible that you and I are sometimes need to have spiritual laziness pruned out of our lives. Maybe we need to have some other things pruned out of our lives, because what happens is we're spending all our time on those things instead of serving Him and following Him. What I have learned in my own life comes out of some practical experience also with a grapevine. Shirley and I bought a house several years ago and owned it for a number of years. And when we bought it, it had a grapevine on a little storm fence going around the yard, a chain link fence. And what I learned is it produced grapes, but I had to learn how to prune that thing. And you know what the first lesson I learned about that was? You cannot prune the grapevine sitting in your recliner. Now you laugh, but there's a spiritual truth there. You see, when God steps on our toes and prunes some things out of our lives, as painful as that is, guess what it means? The vine dresser is close. It's close. If God is close enough to prune those things out of our lives, as painful as it is, we recognize He cares about us. He's with us. Second thing I want you to know about that same grapevine is that sometimes pruning comes from things completely unexpected to us and results in things that are unexpected to us. One day we actually had a fire on our detached garage. And fortunately, we didn't lose our house, but we completely lost our garage. And as that fire burned, I can remember standing there looking at the rubble after the fire was put out and everything, and looking at all the mess of stuff we were gonna have to clean up and everything. And I looked over at that storm fence, because this thing went about 4 or 5 feet away from the side of the garage. And that vine was just singed all over the place. And I can remember thinking, man, that grapevine is done for. But you know what happened? The next year, it came back. And it produced more grapes than it did before. And some of you in this congregation this morning have had some things that were not in your control that happened to you in your life or your family, and it's been painful. But God can use those things to bring fruit into your life that you never expected. And our God, who is a faithful God, can still do amazing things. The fourth thing I want you to see is this. The production of fruit flows from His presence. If you look at verses 7 and following, we're going to quickly run through them, and I want you to see the things that Jesus says here that result from our connection to Him and being abiding in Him. First of all, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Answered prayer is one of the gifts of abiding in our Savior. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The second thing he's saying is the fruit that comes out of our walk with Him, fruit of the Holy Spirit's work, what it does is it brings glory to our God. You see, our lives ought to be a testimony of what grace does when it changes a life. And so what he's saying here is that my Father's glorified by what's happening in you. I don't know about you, but that's humbling. To think about having a life that might bring glory and honor to the Father. Then look at verse 9. Just as the Father have loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That God kind of love that he's talking about shows up in the life of a believer. John talks about this elsewhere when he reminds us that one of the things that the world will know about us being believers is that because we love one another. I wonder how often we've allowed trivial things to stand in the way of our showing God kind of love, even to other believers. Now, I know you've never heard of this before, but I have a family of 46 congregations. And just every so often, even in a Baptist church, somebody gets crossways with one another. I know y'all never heard of that before. It's a new concept, I know that, but it does happen occasionally. And listen, there are times when we're going to disagree, but when the world looks at us, what the world ought to see is those folks love one another. They love one another. And look with me, if you would, at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. One of the things he's saying is, when you and I are abiding in him, spending time with him, hearing from him, it's going to change our behavior. It isn't just a matter of, these are the things I believe. It's a matter of, what do we do? Are we not only trusting, but are we doing what he asks us to do? And it's not just about outward activity. Don't hear that. It's not about works. But what I'm saying is, our lifestyle will change when we meet Jesus. Amen? And then look at that last one. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. Now, let me just give you this in a practical way. How often when you turn on the news, however you get your news, do you see joy? You think about it. All the stories that are covered, do you ever see joy? Almost never. And so when the world looks at us, the world ought to see that even in difficult circumstances, we are people who have God's gift of joy. Not just happiness based on good circumstances, but even in the midst of difficult circumstances, a God-given fruit of the Spirit that is joy. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm telling you all this stuff because I want you to know the joy that you can have walking with me. And so even when you and I lose a loved one, we can experience his joy even in the midst of grief. In the midst of hard transitions in your life, we can experience his joy. When you and I see challenges ahead of us that we don't know how we're going to meet, one of the things that can happen is we can know his joy, even in the midst of not knowing how it's all going to work out. We can recognize we have a Savior who loves us and who saves us. So I want to bring this around. I want to ask you a question. And that question really is very simple. Are you connected to the one who said, I am the true vine? Now, a really quick application to that is this. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you could do that today. You could do that by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I confess my sin and I am sorry for my sin and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to come in and be the boss of my life and to guide me and direct me. The second thing, though, I want you to know is there are many of you here today who are already followers of Jesus. But you might say, you know, Brother Rick, if I were just really honest, I am not sensing the joy of abiding with Jesus in my life today. And so I want to just give you a quick thought about that. Is it possible the reason we're not sensing that we're abiding with him is because we're not doing the basic things? We're not spending time in his word. We're not spending time talking with him in prayer. Now, one thing I've learned about prayer is easy to talk about. It's harder to do. But when you and I talk to him in prayer, he does amazing things. Here's another thing that's amazing about what God can do is when we make sure that our connection is right with him, it's going to push some other things out. We're not going to listen as much to certain people and certain things because we need to hear what Jesus says, not what the world has to say. And is it possible there are some of those things right there that need to be sorted out in your life so that you make sure you're not only connected, but you're abiding in him. You're sensing his presence in your life every single day, even in difficult circumstances. Maybe you need to recommit yourself today to getting back to the disciplines of being a follower of Jesus. Finally, there may be some of you here today who just have a heavy burden on your heart or mind or soul. You say, Brother Rick, I'm just telling you, there's some things that are pressing in around me and they're so heavy, and I just need to bring them to the foot of the cross. In a moment, I'm going to share an invitation, and when I do that, you could respond to each of those three things if they were appropriate to you. If you've never trusted Jesus, you can know the one who says, I am the true vine. If you're a follower of Jesus, but you've not been experiencing his presence, you could recommit yourself to walking with him and following him as a disciple. And thirdly, the altar at Second Mile is always open for a person who has a burden on their heart or soul that is weighing them down to lay it at the foot of the cross and talk to God. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father and God, we are so grateful because you've allowed us to open your living word. Father, our identity comes not from the world, but from the fact that Jesus abides in us. And so I pray that you'd guide us in these moments of invitation to respond as only you can help us to do. Give us the courage to make sure we do not leave this place with unfinished business with you. Guide us, Father, that these might be moments of allowing your Holy Spirit to search our hearts and call us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.